Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Matthew 12, verse 27, Jesus declared, quote, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Our words have a cost. Very few Christians understand that words are not free. James 1, verse 19 declares, quote, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Let's open our Bible now that we might learn this principle of being careful in the use of our words.
Well, good morning, and welcome to another teaching. It's an early Friday morning here in Texas, and we're just in our Bible. We're gonna be expositing James 1, hopefully verses 19 to the end of the chapter, verses 19 to 27. Hopefully, you've been reading your Bible more. We've been talking a lot about that. Hopefully, you've been spending more time in your Bible. Every day you ought to be reading the Word of God and putting the Word of God in you, but you also want to be studying the Scriptures. Now, again, that's why we do these teachings, to help you to go deeper in the Scriptures. So today we're going to go through James, again, 1. The goal is 19 to 27, and hopefully I'll get through all those verses, but I want to show you how I do it. Okay, this is how I study the Scripture. This is how I consider the Scripture and think about the Scripture. Remember, you want to read the Scripture. Okay, then you want to make sure that you understand the Scripture. And then you want to make sure that you apply the Scripture. Now, for me as a teacher and a preacher, I need to read the Scripture to you. I need to explain it or teach it so that you can understand it. And then I need to use it to make application to our lives, obviously my own first, and then anyone who's listening. So, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we get to do this, Father. We thank you that we have our Bible. We thank you that we have the Word of God to guide us, Father, but above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask you to give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So I'm going to read James 1. Now, listen to how I read it as well. When you read your Bible, you want to read it. And again, try to read it in a way that you believe James had in his heart when he was writing it. Okay. So we're not here just to read words. You want to read it with the zeal and the passion and the love, the concern, the real heart that James has when he writes it. Obviously, James is writing this letter, okay? He's writing it to believers, and he has a tremendous heart for them. He cares about them. So when you read the Scripture, you want to get behind that. You want to read it with what you believe is a similar heart, a similar concern as the biblical author, had when he wrote it. So, all right. So James 1, 19 to 27, James says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So you saw how I read that. Now, again, you can read it again and you can read it again and you can read it again. And what'll happen if you read it, you know, a second time, a third time, a fourth time, you'll start to get the heart or the rhythm of the author more and more and more and more. And again, you want to read it and again with the heart and concern and the desire that you believe James had. Obviously, James, he's writing this. He didn't know it would be the word of God. It came out to be the word of God, but he's writing because he has tremendous care for these people, right? If you look at verse 1, it's James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings, right? So he's writing to these, you know, different groups of people, you know, and encouraging them in their walk with Jesus. So verse 19, okay, he says, my dear brother. So again, you can see that he has a love and concern. And this would mean brothers and sisters, okay? My dear brothers and sisters, those who are in Christ, those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord. So you see how I'm expositing the scriptures. We only did three words, but there's so much in it. Again, I could take this whole teaching and just get through two verses, okay? My dear brothers, you see that he has this love for them. They're dear to him. And again, this means brothers and sisters, those who have received Christ. If you're genuinely in Christ today, you're a spiritual brother or sister with all other men or women that have ever received Jesus Christ. We're a spiritual family. My dear brothers, take note of this. So when he says take note of this, it's something that man, we ought to step back and think, okay, all right, I need to get this in, you know, I need to get this down. This needs to be a part of my life. My dear brothers, take note of this. When someone tells you to take note of this, it's obviously important. Now, the whole word of God is important, of course, right? All of these things are important. But he does go out of his way, and the Holy Spirit, again, made this holy scripture to say, take note of this. So let's take note of this, okay? You may want to write it down, but continue to think about it. And there are few things in our lives that we need to do better as Christians and as a church than this. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, brothers and sisters, all of us in Christ who would be in Christ, take note of this. James 1:19, everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now, you heard me say that there are a few scriptures that we need to work on more than this. Everyone, okay, that means you and me, should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. The reality is that we're slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. We can repent right now, right? So everyone should be quick to listen. So again, when you read this, and you know, you saw he's told you to take note of it, how well are you doing in it? Okay. How well, you know, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit, help me to really examine myself in light of these verses. In light of this verse, how well Am I quick to listen? When I look at my own life, I'm certainly better than I've been in the past. But man, in some ways, I'm not very good. There are times where, you know, where I believe that I already know what the other person's going to say, and I just move right to solution. Now, sometimes people can be pedantic. Sometimes they, they can go on and on and on and on. But at the same time, this is the word of God. Everyone should be quick to listen, right? We've heard it our whole lives. Hopefully you've heard it, right? That you have two ears the Lord gave you. Two of them, right? Two ears, one mouth. So you should listen twice as much as you speak. There's a reason the Lord didn't give us two mouths and one ear. What would that look like? A big ear right here, right? And then two mouths over here so we could talk out of both sides of our mouth, which regrettably we often do, right? No. Okay. So again, you've heard this before. Hopefully you've got two ears the Lord gave you and one mouth. So we should listen twice as much as we speak. Regrettably, very, very few people do this. Okay. And you know what the biggest problem is? I was thinking about this yesterday, is we actually think my man, Stephen, on the other side of the studio door, actually thinks that words are free. We think that words are free. They don't cost nothing, so I might as well just say whatever comes to my mind and just blurt it all out, because we actually think words are free. But at the foundation of it all, words are not free. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look what Jesus says here. Verse 36, Matthew 12, verse 36. Jesus says, "But I tell you that men," this certainly means men and women, "but I tell you that men and women will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." So again, you want to read the scripture, you want to understand the scripture, and then you want to apply the scripture. So when you read Matthew 12, 36, words in red, Jesus is speaking, "But I tell you," it's not an option, "that men," and men means people here, "will have to give account on the day of judgment," when we stand before Jesus, "for every careless word they have spoken." I mean, that's really there. That's the verse. I mean, y'all, we have used, every single one of us in the hearing of my voice, and certainly me, just needs to repent over the overwhelming amount of careless words that I've spoken. We tend to read this verse and we gloss over it because somehow we think careless words maybe are just foul language, and certainly we need to repent over that. Or we just maybe think careless words are when we lie. It certainly includes that, but it means substantially more than that. It actually means what it says, that people will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. A careless word is a word that you speak, a sentence that you speak. It's when you're talking and you have no care at all, careless, whether it's appropriate to speak those words, whether it's right, whether it's proper, again, appropriate, whether it's true or not, whether it's, whether it's something that Jesus would have you to speak. I would venture to say we could start with cutting out 50% of our talking. Okay. And again, There are so many times that we speak and we're sharing things that are not, you know, that it's not something Jesus would have us to speak about. It's not something that's helpful to ourselves. What we're saying is not helpful to others. So this is a big deal. Remember, James said, you know, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Again, Matthew 12, 36, and I'll read 37. So why do I bring this verse in? I bring the verse in to let us know that words are not free, okay? We're going to have to give an account. I mean, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, because we're going to have to give an account to Jesus at the judgment for our words, for how we have spoken. And I'll say again, all of us have used some careless words. So I put this in here to drive us, myself first, and then everyone else, to drive us to change, to begin to this day, use your words differently. Begin to be more careful in the use of your words because we are so careless. We don't care about how we're speaking and whether we should be saying it or not, whether it's right or not, whether it's true or not, whether it's proper or not, whether it's vulgar or not, whatever it is. So this is said, this scripture is brought alongside James to hammer this point home, right? So let's get it in our head. Words are not free, y'all. Words are not free. We're going to have to give an account, but I tell you that men will have to give an account. We'll have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Verse 37, Matthew 12. For by your words, you will be acquitted. And by your words, you will be condemned. Now, again, you know, he's not talking about salvation here, okay? Although, again, the words we speak, particularly how we speak about Jesus, how we speak about the fact that we're desperate, hopeless sinners that need a Savior to avoid an eternity in hell, how we speak about that, or if we do consistently speak about that, will lead us, will show that we have been saved, okay? Someone who is consistently speaking about Jesus, speaking to themselves, speaking in prayer, and then, you know, speaking to others. And again, not everyone is called to be a minister, but all of us are called to talk about Jesus, okay? But someone who's consistently speaking about Jesus, their need of Jesus, the whole world's need of Jesus, the fact that they're desperate, wicked, wretched sinners that need a Savior, and only Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The only way to be saved needs to be rescued from an eternity in hell because we need the forgiveness of our sins. Without Jesus, we have to pay our own sin debt. We're responsible. We have a debt of sin to our Creator. And that debt's going to get paid one way or the other. There are indeed two ways to have our sin debt paid. Many, many people, many preachers will say, oh, no, there's just one way to have your sin debt paid. Believe in Jesus and he'll pay your sin. That's true. Okay? But no, there is another way. The other way is to spend an eternity in hell paying your sin debt yourself. And because the debt is so weighty, because it accrues so much interest, because our sin is so vile that we've committed all the days of our life, it never gets paid. It never gets fully paid off. So, again, you know, are you sure that you're trusting in Jesus? You know, intellectual assent to the existence of Christ is not salvation. Trusting Jesus, relying on Jesus, literally clinging to Jesus alone, believing that he is who he says he is, the Son of God, God the Son, and receiving him, John 1:12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay? So again, have you received Jesus, knowing yourself, as the scripture says, to be a desperate, hopeless, wretched, hellbound sinner, but believing that your God, God the Son of God, did enter this world, did live that perfect, righteous life even for you, died that horrible, torturous death on the cross for you, and was raised from the dead. Do you believe that? And if you believe that, have you received him? Have you humbled yourself before him and acknowledged yourself as a desperate sinner, telling Jesus, Lord Jesus, I do believe you are the Son of God. I do believe you did enter this world. I do believe you lived that perfect, sinless life and died that horrible, torturous death even for me. And therefore, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, to save me from my sin, to bring me to heaven when I die. Lord Jesus, I place all my faith and hope and trust and reliance and confidence in you alone, and you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. You know, you believe that Jesus lived for you, died for you, and rose again. And from that place, you call out to him. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, it's not our words that save us. We don't get saved by puppeting words, okay? But we do use our words. It's a good thing to use our words, as Jesus is explaining us here, to proclaim our heart, the truth of our heart. Go back, you know, rewind the tape, whatever it is, 2 minutes, and listen to me talk and how I talk about the cross, how I talk about, you know, what Jesus has done for us, okay? When I'm saying that, my belief is oozing out of me, okay? Now, again, I've done this for a long time, okay? I do this as my job, okay? But this is what we want. We want our faith in Jesus to be so absolute, so certain that your words reflect that. Now, again, if you're at a place and you know, you would say, well, man, golly, I don't know if I believe like that. Again, it's a process. You know, being saved happens by genuinely receiving Christ. So the first thing you want to do is if you're not sure that you're clinging to Jesus, if you would say, you know, I believe in Jesus, but I don't know that I'm trusting in him and clinging to him. Again, go back, humble yourself before Jesus, even get on your knees. Again, none of these things, you're not saved by your posture, but posturing ourselves in humility and submission before Jesus does help us. C.S. Lewis said that humans are animals. What our bodies do affects our soul. So to kneel down in a posture of submission does help us, okay? But just go before Jesus again and acknowledge your sin and explain to him. Talk to him, right? Use your words. Proclaim your faith and trust in him. Proclaim your belief in him, that he is who he says he is. Proclaim your belief that he came into this world, that God himself, God the Son, entered this world, lived that perfect righteous life, died that tortured death, and that he rose again. And then from that place of belief, receive him. Literally ask him to come into your heart. Proclaim your trust and confidence in him. And if you're genuine, God has given his word, okay? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When you call out to the Lord, when you cry to the Lord, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, knowing your desperate need of him, you will be saved. And so all of that is to say that gospel, if that's something you're sharing with yourself, the old church fathers used to tell us hundreds of years ago to share the gospel with ourselves, to think about the gospel more and more and more and more. Again, we should speak the gospel out loud. Again, everything you heard me say in these last 3 or 4 minutes, how often do you talk about it to yourself? Again, yes, it's certainly good to share the gospel and to evangelize, and we're gifted in different ways to do that, and all of us should be making some effort, okay? But I don't expect everyone to do it as I do it, but obviously the better you do it, the better it is. I mean, for you just to talk, imagine all the ridiculous, careless, worthless words that have come out of my mouth, but the words of the gospel, the words of affirming the word of God, affirming the truth of the gospel. I mean, for Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be acquitted and by your words you will be condemned. Now, you can go to the website, go to kingdomd.org, kingdom, the letter D.org, and we have gospel tracts there, okay? You can open them up and read it right there. Everything's free. Or you can print them off. And just if you read one of these gospel tracts, even if you read it once a week, it'll take you 10 minutes, 15 minutes to read it slowly. It's full of scripture, and it will remind you of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you read one of those gospel tracts, they're all on just one-sided 8x10 piece of paper. If you just read that, again, you would just get that gospel in you, and it'll begin to transform you more and more. But the point of all this, again, is that it's Jesus said, for by your words you will be acquitted. Are you someone who is using your words to speak the word of God? Certainly the gospel, but how much are you speaking the truth of the word of God? The truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God the Son, that Jesus did enter this world, that the Bible is true in every way, that the Bible is faithful to lead us, that the Bible is the manual for our life. How much do you speak the truth of the various different things in the Word of God? So, you know, let's go back to James now. And as you're going to see, I didn't get out of one verse. Okay. I actually believed that somehow I was going to get through all those verses. And, you know, I didn't really get out of verse 19, right? I'm going to finish verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. So again, all of these things, are you taking note? Okay. Everyone should be quick to listen. Begin to listen more. Begin to be a better listener. Repent. Certainly I need to repent to be a better listener. Stephen would say, you know, we need to repent. You know, Stephen's with me here in the studio. Kristen and Nathan, who work on these, in the ministry with us. All us guys would say we need to do this better. And James is telling us to take note of this. And we just saw that Jesus is going to hold us accountable to this. Everyone should be quick to listen. So let's be a little more quick to listen, okay? Listening to others, of course. And then obviously listening to Jesus, listening to the word of God. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Let's remember. Words are not free, okay? Just because I can talk, just because I can use my mouth and say something doesn't mean it's okay, okay? Words aren't free. We're going to be brought to account, okay? So again, it's good to use our words. It's good to build people up. It's good to be encouraging. It's good to be loving. It's not good to gossip. It's not good to talk negatively about someone but behind their back. So again, and all of us have done these things, but the point is we want to repent and begin to be quick to listen, slow to speak. If the better we listen, the better counsel we can give when we speak. And here's the thing. It's okay and a good thing to think before we speak. We don't just have to blurt out the first thing that comes into our mind. It's okay to pause for a minute. Okay, I got a few brothers in my life, more mature than myself in this certainly, that, you know, that sometimes, you know, we'll be on a phone call or somewhere, or I'll ask a question and they won't answer immediately. Okay. And these are guys outside the ministry. All us are working hard, you know, are working more in the ministry to do this, but there'll be like a silence on the phone or if we're sitting together because they're thoughtfully contemplating. They do this pretty well. They carefully listen to what was said. And then they're considering their words because they actually know they're going to be accountable for their words. And they don't want to say anything that's not consistent with the word of God and the heart of Jesus. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. So let's start doing that. Slow to speak. Again, words aren't free. Let's be slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Well, there's a big one. I mean, why does he even put that in there? Okay. He says in verse 20 of James 1, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. The better that we are quick to listen, the more we're slow to speak, the more we realize we have two ears and one mouth, we begin to speak less and listen more. This will help us to not be angry, slow to become angry. I know in my own life, I can be such a baby at times. If I feel disrespected or if someone's treating me selfishly, I can just be a baby and get frustrated and irritated and angry and off put right away. It's just like a little baby. Let's Let's acknowledge, are you someone who's hot-tempered? Are you someone who loses their cool? Are you someone that gets angry and lashes out if you hear something that you don't like? Or if you're treated in a way that you don't appreciate? Because verse 20 says, for man's anger, again, he's speaking about people now, men and women, does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So again, if that's a part of your life, if you're an intemperate person, and I see areas of my life in this, then again, you want to repent, okay? So I'm sorry we didn't get through everything we want to do today, but this is how we study the scripture. So imagine if you were reading your Bible and you began to study your scripture like this. And again, that's why we do these teachings. So you have this as a tool as well. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we do thank you that you have our Bible. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. Forgive us, Lord, where I have not been quick to listen, slow to speak, and where I have not been slow to become angry. Convict me, Holy Spirit. Convict us that words are not free, that our words will be brought to account. Convict us that we would repent over ungodly words, and we would begin today to think before we speak, and we would not share something or speak something with anyone where it's not your will, where it's not helpful, where it's not going to be something that brings life in Christ. At the same time, Lord, help us to speak the word, to speak the truth in love, to exhort people where they need to be exhorted, to encourage them, but also to correct them where they need to be corrected. And again, convict us, Holy Spirit, over just any aspects of our life where we're intemperate, where we get angry, where we lash out. Father, we love you and we bless you. Lord Jesus, we honor you. You seal this to our hearts, we pray now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.